live from the Hot Stove Lounge. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Following a 4-3 overtime win for the Flames over the Seattle Kraken here at the Dome on a Monday night, Flames have now won 5 of 6 in the 2024 preseason. Welcome to our Flames Talk postgame show. It's Pat Steinberg along with you here in the Hot Stove Lounge, and let's go immediately to the Flames locker room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. We're joined by Flames defenseman Braden Pahal, who picked up a goal in this 4-3 overtime win over Seattle. Braden, really appreciate the time, as always. Just your overall thoughts, a back-and-forth preseason affair tonight. How'd you like this one from your side's vantage point?
Yeah, I think it was high pace out there. I think there was parts of the game where we kind of struggled in the D-zone a bit, but once we kind of got the puck behind them and got in on the forecheck and established our game, I think we played well.
Walk us through your goal, a bit of a bomb from the right side on the nice cross-ice feed from Ryan Lomberg. Take us through what you saw on that one.
Yeah, that was just a great heads-up play by Lambo there. He saw me cross ice and hit me on the tape, and I was lucky enough to put it in.
Braden, how would you, we talked to you in here last week and talked to you about your camp, and now as it has continued to progress a few days later, just overall, how are you feeling about your 2024 camp so far?
Yeah, I feel like it's been good. I've been able to, chip in offensively when I can. I still think, for me, it's just cleaning up the D zone a little bit, making those plays a little bit quicker, and just getting the feel for it again.
The competition on the blue line, how do you feel that's been driving you?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think anytime you have internal competition, it kind of raises your game. It has to, and that's huge getting ready for the regular season.
And a final thought for you, two more preseason games to go. We're less than a week away until the end of training camp. Just based on what you've experienced before, what is this final week, these final couple of preseason games, what are they like from a player's perspective here?
They're massive. It's the last two games that you can hone in until it really matters. So we have to take it super seriously. This next week is super important, and we'll be ready to go for game one.
Braden, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for doing this, hey?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Braden Pahal, who joins us post-game outside the Flames locker room. And from the Flames dressing room is brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. It's our Flames Talk post-game show. We are underway on a Monday night. Pat Steinberg around the table with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. Live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text lines open at 960-960. We'd love to hear from you on this Monday night. Flames have 6 down, 2 to go in the 2024 preseason. 5-0-1 is their record. The exhibition schedule in 2024. Joined as well by Megan Mickelson and Derek Wills around the table, and the pace and the games only get a little bit quicker and a little bit closer to regular season pace as we move towards the end of the preseason. Mick, what'd you make of this one? Is back and forth all night, and the Flames eventually pull out a overtime win.
Well, and as the pace continues to increase, that's when you get exposed more defensively. And I thought that happened for both groups tonight. A lot of back and forth and some openings from a defensive standpoint, but it's the beauty of the preseason. This is when you'll be able to go back, look at tape, and just kind of be reminded of how quickly things happen. And I know Ryan Huska was saying this morning that as the pace continues to increase, they're really looking at who can make plays under pressure. And so you can, I don't know, in my mind, there's guys that are starting to separate themselves from others in terms of being able to make plays under pressure. So that was really interesting to see. We can get into that more. I thought Dan Vladar looked really good. He got better and better, I thought, as the game went on, and made some really good saves, which is great to see in his first full 60 minutes back in the net.
Yeah, we talked a lot about players who are probably on the bubble. We talked about that on our first daily Calgary Flames roundtable on Flames Talk. We talked about that pregame. And for me, not the best night for Jacob Peltier, Matt Coronato, and Ilya Solovyov. But I think Tyson Barrie, Sam Honzek, Adam Klapka, Sam Morton, and Braden Pahal probably all helped themselves with the way they played in this game against the Kraken tonight. So it's going to be a lot of fun to kind of watch these battles throughout training camp and the preseason progress in the final couple of games.
Well, let's focus in on the marquee matchup tonight, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. We were in the pregame show focusing on kind of the three forwards who were given big-time opportunities who are kind of knocking on the door right now. Jacob Pelche on the Backlund line, and again, this kind of changed after 40. Michael Backlund missed the entire third period with an undisclosed situation, so things went into a blender in the third period. Michael's last shift was, I think, with 7 seconds remaining in the second period, so the line got all juggled up in the third period when they went down to 11. But through 40, Pelche was on the Backlund line. Coronado was with Sharon Govich and Huberdeau. And Honzek was with Kuzmenko and Kadri. Big opportunity for all three of them. And I think it's safe to say, Derek, that you know, with the highlight reel goal, shorthanded, the drawn penalty in the first period, a couple of nice puck battles, one down low. I thought that of those three, Honzek was the one that kind of stood out above the rest once again.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it for me. And it goes beyond that gorgeous goal that he scored shorthanded to give the Flames a 3-2 lead. He just looked like an NHL player out there. And listen, this wasn't the A squad for the Seattle Kraken, but all you can do is be at your best against the team across the ice from you. And
It'll be probably pretty close to A squads on Wednesday and Friday, though, right?
I think those are going to be telltale for all of these bubble players that we've talked about. As for the other two guys, I thought Jacob Pelche was a little bit better in this game than in previous game that he's played in the preseason. And Matt Coronado, I didn't think it was his best night. No shots, one attempt. And when your best weapon is your shot, you've got to find a way to use it. And
that came in the first period,
too. He didn't get a shot on goal in this hockey game. So it wasn't terrible or anything like that, but just didn't pop for me like he has in some other preseason games.
Yeah, for me, Sam Honzek also by far and away, I think in this game, he really created some separation amongst him and those other bubble guys. Yeah, Jacob Pelche, to me, he just kind of looked like he was a step behind positioning-wise, and as a result, he wasn't in positions on the ice to be impactful, to use his speed, to be first on the forecheck and create turnovers, which is what they need him to do. So, yeah, Pelche's had a bit of a rough go from my standpoint. Matt Coronado, to me, it looked like he was holding his stick too tight and trying to do a little bit too much in this game. I think that's what has allowed him to be successful so far in the preseason, was that he wasn't doing that. Like, he was playing a very simple, straightforward game. Tonight, it was like he was trying to do too much, and he was holding his stick a little bit too tight. I liked Sam Morton's game. Didn't love him in the faceoff circle.
Yeah, which is always a bit of a learning experience for young guys in this league. So big opportunities all around at the forward position for the Flames tonight. That was our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clear out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until March 2025. It's Steinberg with Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson around the table. And now Flames goaltending coach Jason LaBarbera is with us here for the first time this season on the postgame show. Welcome to postgame.
Hey, I missed you guys. Yeah,
we missed you, man. How we doing?
Back.
How we doing?
Good. Liar.
that was fully sincere. Barbs, let's start with Dan Vladar. He's now played quick math 7 periods in the preseason and makes 30 stops tonight. Number of high quality, high dangers he had to be sharp on. Boy, he's talked a lot about his hip and how good he feels, and from us layman's non-goaltender standpoint, it sure does look like he feels a whole lot better. I'm just curious as to what we've seen from Dan, what you've seen from Dan tonight, and overall.
Yeah, I like where he's at right now. I think when you have to play through, you know, what he did, and I had to do it at the end of my career too with your hip, like it's tough, right? It wears on you. It's always in the back of your mind. A lot of times it's in the forefront of your mind, you know, so I think just that part of it, feeling healthy and not having that extra, you know, added stress of him having to think about it all the time has helped him. And he's looked good in camp so far, and he's just got to continue to keep building.
I'm going to throw it to you straight. you have three goalies who are playing really well right now. Like, what are you guys going to do?
That's out of my pay grade. I don't know.
It's the question everyone's asking. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, the guys have come in. It's been, for me, it's been an enjoyable camp. You know, you got three young guys that are all excited about opportunities. You know, it's their chance to play in the league, and they've so far they've done a good job with it, and they brought a lot of energy, all three of them, and they're, again, they're obviously excited about what lies ahead for each of them, and you know, I don't know how it's going to shake out. It's, like I said, it's out of my pay grade, but I like where the guys are at. You know, I Devin's come in and played well, and Dustin's played well, and obviously Dan's played well like he did tonight. So, it's a good problem to have.
Other than win the Calder Cup, I think it's safe to say that Dustin Wolf accomplished everything that he could accomplish at the American Hockey League level and probably doesn't need to play another game in that league, although you never know where things are going to go from here. But I know it was a big offseason for him, preparing to hopefully be one of the Flames' top two goaltenders and maybe even their number one guy this year. So during the offseason, what did Dustin really dial in on as he tried to set himself up for success in this opportunity?
Well, I think just to go back, I think the last, what was he up for the last month and a half or so, I think that helped him a ton. And again, you know, I've been in these guys' shoes. So, when you're up and down a lot, like he was at the start, it's hard to get comfortable. It's hard to get a feel for the league, the way the game's played at this level, the travel, the schedule, all that sort of stuff. So I think that helped him a lot, just to give him an idea of it. You know, it's the schedule and the travel just itself is way different than mm-hmm. the American League. So he got a taste of that. And then obviously the pace and everything else that comes with playing in the NHL, you know, there's a big difference. So that, first of all, helped him a ton. I think just skating for him, he's obviously a great skater, but just tightening up, a couple technical things for him this summer has helped him. And, he's brought it over into this so far in camp. And it's something that, you know, we just have to keep working at and helping him continue to get comfortable with it.
We're chatting with Jason LaBarbera, Flames goaltending coach, after a 4-3 overtime win over Seattle. We talked a little bit about Dan, but just the overall game, you've got two more preseason games to go. What did you make of this one? Is, you know, everybody is trying to ramp up. You got players fighting for jobs and veterans getting themselves ready. Pretty veteran-heavy lineup tonight. What did you make of this one from your group's perspective?
You take that many penalties in the second period, it kind of takes everybody out of the flow, obviously. And, I think that was part of what, you know, I thought the first period was decent. The second period, you know, we were in the box a lot killing penalties. It takes guys like Cousy and Hubie sort of out of the game because they're not, you know, they go stretches of 10, 15, even 20 real time minutes of not getting on the ice. So I thought the pace slowed down a little bit. And then, they ramped it up in the third and we kind of hung in there, and then just, you know, we found a way to win in the end.
One guy who's been really impressive for me has been Tyson Barrie, obviously on a PTO. He's got a lot to fight for. What have you made of his game in the preseason?
Well, he's a veteran guy that's played a long time in the league and has had a lot of success. And obviously he's really good on the power play, and he's a puck moving guy. And, you know, I think he's done a good job since he's been here in camp. And, again, there's another tough decisions coming down the pike, but he's done what I think he probably wanted to do coming in here.
I know you're focused on the goaltenders, but it's been hard not to notice Sam Honzak, who, you know, for me, has kind of come out of nowhere since the start of the preseason. He scores a gorgeous highlight reel goal tonight, shorthanded, to give you guys a 3-2 lead. What steps have you seen him take since he first attended training camp in the preseason a year ago?
Confidence.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the big, you could just tell, like, last year he was really unsure. It's a big step for guys that come in. You're 17 years old and you're in the NHL, and, you know, it's a lot. There's a lot going on, and sometimes it takes guys a little bit of time to sort of get adjusted, and that's what I see. You can tell he's more comfortable. He's more confident in what he's doing out there. He's not tiptoeing around. Like, he's in there and he's involved, and that's good to see for a young guy. That's what you want to see, is that progress, and he's played really well this camp.
How do you, just overall, I mean, I know results in the preseason do not really matter when it's all said and done, but, you know, you've got some, you know, some positivity around the group. There's been some wins in the preseason. There's been some competition at training camp. Just overall, how would you put your finger on this camp and kind of the buzz, the vibes, all of that as we're about a, what, 8 days now from the start of the regular season?
I think the last couple of weeks has been really good. I think the environment has been energetic. I think it helps having the young guys come in, and they obviously with the draft, you had a lot of picks this year, and you drafted some good players that have some skill, and that's brought a lot of energy, I think, to the group. And it's been a fun couple of weeks for sure. Obviously, it's still preseason, and there's a long ways to go, but yeah. You certainly like it's just the vibe of, like I said, of where everyone's at right now. It's been pretty good.
Good stuff, Barbs. Thanks for stopping in. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
You still miss me?
After that first question, I don't know.
Thanks, Barbs.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
It's Jason LaBarbera, Flames goaltending coach, joining us here. Post-game, 4-3 overtime Flames win over the Seattle Kraken. They're 5-0-1, and did a good job of, I mean, above his pay grade.
I mean, I knew I wasn't going to get an answer, but is that not the question that 100%. Literally everyone is thinking right now? So it's like, why not just ask?
There are so many, there's a lot of different permutations as to the way this thing could go. And yeah. Honestly, I mean, we'll see how they split up the goaltending starts in the final two. My guess is Wolf goes Wednesday in Winnipeg. Whether or not he goes the full way, don't know. But he hasn't suited up now for two straight games. So it would just make sense that he gets the start against the Jets in Winnipeg. And then, I don't know, maybe you go 2-1 with Vladar and Cooley on Friday. Or maybe you go the full game with Vladar. Maybe it's 2-1 with Wolf and Cooley on Wednesday. I don't know. But will he take a look at the decision they've got to make? And who needs waivers and who doesn't need waivers. And there could very well be a situation where they start the season with three goaltenders on the roster. I don't think that's out of the question at all.
Yeah, and I asked Ryan Huska about it a couple of days ago, and he didn't say yes or no, but he didn't say no when I asked him if the team might start the season with three goaltenders. And it might depend on what's happening with the other 31 teams in the NHL. Think about the Canucks and the issues they're dealing with between the pipes right now with the injury to Thatcher Demko, and you know, do they have the right guys to help them get off to a strong start this season? And you know, there's other teams around the league.
Maybe John Gibson's hurt in Anaheim. Yep.
Maybe not happy with their goaltending situation. And right now, just trying to read the tea leaves. And again, the coaches and the managers aren't going to tip their hand right now, but Dustin Wolf and Dan Vladar are getting the most playing time. So that tells me a story. That tells me that they're probably 1-2-2-1 up on the whiteboard in the coach's office. That doesn't mean that can't change between now and the end of the preseason.
And honestly, it's probably been that way since the start of training camp, right?
Yeah. It was probably their job to lose. But, you know, Devin Cooley's has a .929 save percentage in the time he spent between the pipes for the Flames so far in the preseason. So it's not like he hasn't played well enough to gather some confidence and to get some consideration for one of the jobs here. But I think right now it's probably going to be 1A, 1B, Wolf, Vladar, Wolf in no particular order. And who knows? Maybe if they feel like they can slip Cooley through waivers, they'll put him on waivers before the start of the season. If they feel like he might get grabbed and they don't want to lose him, then maybe you hold on to three goaltenders. And Pat, you've talked a lot about this on this show and on Flames Talk. The Flames, because of their salary cap situation, they can keep 23 guys. Yeah. So they can keep extra forwards, extra defensemen, or maybe an extra goaltender. Teams do not want to have three goaltenders around long term. It's not ideal. You've got one net in games. You've got two nets in practice. Coaches hate it. And the goalie, who is the odd man out, hates it.
Yep.
But short-term, I think you can get away with it. So we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. But all three guys have played well. So it's internal competition, it seems like, at every position for the Flames, and including in net.
Oh, maybe they wait to see how Dan Vladar feels as they continue to ramp up his volume. Obviously, Jason LaBarbera just said that he has been through a hip surgery. He knows what that's like. And so maybe that is the case. They start the season with three goalies. They see how Vladar does, how he manages the volume. And then that also buys you a little bit extra time to get more of a look at all three guys.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And the good news, so The roster deadline is next Monday, the 7th, at 3 p.m. Calgary time. That's when you've got to be cap compliant and down to your 23-player roster. So that means Sunday, this weekend's the last day for waivers. That's kind of that big waiver dump day when you see each team like three, four, or five mm-hmm. guys because they're getting down to size. And if you're Vancouver or if you're Anaheim, that might be when you want to pounce on a goaltender who might hit waivers to maybe come in and help you. And if that's the case, maybe the Flames don't go down the Cooley on waivers road that day. Maybe they wait a few days into the regular season. Maybe it's Tuesday when they make that type of decision. I don't know, but that is definitely an option that they have here.
Now, the Flames have lost some pretty good players on waivers over the years. So I'm sure there are fans out there saying, well, we can't put player A, B, or C on waivers because we don't want to lose them. But Devin Cooley is 27 and has played in six career NHL games. So I think sometimes, even as members of the media that cover teams, we get really high on a player and think that everybody around the league feels the same way that we do. But in reality, most of the players who are put on waivers prior to the start of the season will clear and be able to go down to the AHL. So if Devin Cooley is the odd man out, and again, trying to read the tea leaves right now, it kind of looks like he is, then I guess you just have to pick your spots. And if you really think that he's a late bloomer and could potentially be a part of the future here in Calgary, then you do what you can to keep him. If that's keeping three goaltenders to start the season, or if that's picking a better time to put him on waivers to send him down, then you do what you have to do.
Anybody, there's lots of different names we could kick around before we get your final thoughts. Anybody in particular, Mick or Derek, you wanna touch on?
Yep.
I'll let Derek go because he has his hand up.
Yeah. Adam Klapka again. Here's another guy who was on the outside looking in for me, but I think he helped his cause again. If Adam Klapka makes this team, it's going to be as the fourth line right winger. Mm-hmm. Tonight he plays 9 minutes and 25 seconds. So he didn't have a ton of time to work with, but he was impactful. Five shots on goal and seven hits and a couple of block shots. I mean, he didn't have any points, but that's okay because he plays on the fourth line. And for me, whatever points you get from your fourth line, that's a bonus for those players and for the team. So Adam Klapka, in less than 10 minutes of ice time tonight, found a way to impact this hockey game. And that's what I want to see as guys fight for jobs.
Well, and he's had his most impactful games playing on the other side of the line of Ryan Lomberg.
Yeah.
So I think that's been interesting as well to see those two out there together and have we expect Ryan Lomberg to be as impactful as he's been. But alongside Adam Klapka, you wonder if something has kind of been unlocked there and figured out in the combo of those two on a fourth line. Another guy for me on the back end, and I know that the D are, there's a log jam back there and a lot of guys battling, but Braden Pahal has mm-hmm. just been, he's so impressive. He plays such a simple game, but he's been really smart with some of the plays he's made in the offensive zone as well without compromising his defensive game at all. So I just, for the D tonight, he was one that, once again, really stood out to me as having just a really strong, solid game, but finding ways to contribute mm-hmm. offensively as well. And it shows a lot of mental strength. Like, I feel like every time we've heard him talk, like, he knows that he's battling for a spot and battling for a job, and he has shown up.
And last one I'll ask around the table, because he is the story again, is Sam Hontek, mm-hmm. and he continues to impress. He was one of the more impressive forwards out there again. It's September 30th. They've got two more games to go in the preseason. Those will probably be the two most telling games in terms of evaluation. As of right now, are you ready to put him on the team, or is there still more that you need to see before you're ready to say that when it comes to Hontek?
If the team was being picked right now, he would be on the team. Reality is there's still two preseason games mm-hmm. left, and he is going to play more, so that will be telling. But I think one thing that's really starting to become apparent and evident for me in watching him more closely is he's a very intelligent player positionally, and he has a really good stick. And those are details of a player's game, but they're very, very important at the NHL level, obviously, to be a strong positional player. And for him, I mean, he's a pretty big guy, and he uses his stick really well. And that we saw that on the penalty kill. Like, he was really smart in his positioning, had a good stick when he was going out to cover the point, and coverage all over the zone, but 5-on-5 as well. And that's huge for a young player to have that kind of, you know, hockey IQ intelligence in his game and have a good stick. So those are a couple other details that I picked up on outside of what we've seen from him and his speed and his pace and the physicality and the confidence that he's playing with.
I don't have updated stats, and it's about more than just goals, assists, and points, and plus minus, but he came into this game leading the NHL in preseason assists with 5, leading the team and tied for the league lead in preseason points with 6. He added a 7th, and tied for the NHL lead in preseason plus minus at plus 7. He's now plus 8. So if I'm picking the team today, he is absolutely 100% on it.
Can he play himself off of it in these 2 games? We don't even know if he's going to get 2 games here.
And maybe he doesn't get 2 games because he's already played a ton. But he's starting to remind me a little bit of Matthew Tkachuk in the sense that you think back to that 2016-2017 preseason. The Flames' plan was to send Matthew Tkachuk back to the London Knights. And he played himself onto the team with how he performed first at the Young Stars Classic and then during training camp in the preseason. Just kept getting another game and another game and another game. That's what Sam Honzek has done. And as the competition has got tougher, it's almost like he continues to elevate himself and play better. Now, they weren't playing against the A squad for the Kraken tonight. So if he plays in one or both, and I'm sure he'll play in at least one game against the Jets, a home and home that starts Wednesday in Winnipeg and ends Friday here in Calgary, for me, that will be the last test that he has to pass because I'm expecting both the Flames and the Jets to dress lineups that will closely resemble the ones they use in their season opener. So I'd put him on the team right now because you can always send him down. You know, just because you keep him for October 9th doesn't mean he has to be here in the middle of April. Or he can go up and down. He's not waiver eligible. So I'm riding the Sam Honzek train right now. If he continues to play the way he's been playing, I'm going to let him try to do that when the regular season starts. Yeah. And for me, he's jumped ahead of a few guys.
Big time.
You know, if he has to play fourth line minutes and you use him on your power play and you bump him up if another guy's not performing or penalty kill, he scores a shorthanded goal tonight, do that.
Yep. He ended up with 219, a shorthanded time. No power play time today. So you add in little special teams time and get him on a second power play unit maybe. Definitely get him some penalty kill time. Somebody's not going, move him up. And, yeah, I think right now number one bubble forward has turned into Sam Honzek in terms of making this group out of camp.
I didn't see it coming. I'm not going to lie.
No, I don't think anybody did. It's been the biggest surprise of camp without question. Good on him. It's been a good narrative and a good camp so far. 2 more games to go for the Flames this preseason, and Sam Honzek continues to impress. Okay, Derek, Megan, Pat around the table. Flames talk postgame. Phone lines are open. If you want to chat tonight, call now 403-240-4444. We'll get to the phone lines and the text line here very shortly. We'll also hear head coach Ryan Huska in just a second, but first some final thoughts from our broadcast crew of Derek and Megan, starting with Mick.
The hardest working Flame.
Oh, you know what? Because it's not sponsored anymore.
Second game in a row.
I even circled it because I knew I forgot. Before we get to some final thoughts.
We need a sponsor. Who's going to step up and sponsor the hardest working Flame?
Because that'll make it so I won't forget. It's preseason for everybody. Okay, who is tonight's hardest working Flame, Mick?
There's a number of candidates, but I'm going to go with Mackenzie Weegar. Thought he had a really strong game, as usual, throwing his muffin into the mixer. As I like to say it, 3 shots, 2 missed blocks, 2 miss, and then 4 block shots. The other night he had 3 hits and 3 block shots also. So that's talk about wanting to stay healthy going into the regular season. Well, Mackenzie Weegar is still throwing himself in front of pucks. So love to see that. And then had an assist on the game-winning goal. I just think that he's been solid defensively and contributing offensively, did so tonight.
On the never overlooked or forgotten hardest working Flame. Mackenzie Weegar, your hardest working Flame. I even circled it on the...
You got a highlighter over there? Maybe highlight it next time.
I have highlighters. You can borrow one.
I'll remember it at some point. Now some final thoughts. After Mackenzie Weegar named hardest working Flame on tonight's game with two more preseason games to go, Mick.
I think it's really good to start to see some separation amongst the bubble players. And that definitely happened tonight in Sam Hanzik. We've talked a lot about it and just how good he was. Adam Klapka, I think, is making a real case for himself, too. But the game tonight was a little bit sloppy, so some areas to cover up from a coverage standpoint. But that's what the preseason is for. But we heard Jason LaBarbera say it, like it's an energetic environment right now. The vibes are good. So you just want to keep that train rolling through the rest of this week and heading into next week.
Or, as your hardest working Flame would say, the vibes are immaculate right now with a 5-0-1-1 record and sitting atop the NHL's preseason standings. And again, you can't take these points into the regular season, but you can take the belief and the confidence that you build at this time of the year into the regular season and hope that it translates into something. And again, as I said on Flames Talk earlier today, you know, if the Flames win their next two preseason games and finish 7-0-1, and then get blown out in Vancouver in their season opener versus the Canucks, we're all going to forget about their great preseason. But what if they get off to a good start in the regular season? Then we'll probably talk about how that started with some strong individual and team performances in the preseason. So they've been a fun team to watch. I didn't think they were at their best in this game against the Kraken tonight. The Kraken, they brought pretty much their entire team on this road trip, but a number of their top players didn't participate in this hockey game tonight. But as we've seen throughout the preseason, sometimes when you dress a little younger group, those guys are hungrier than veterans who know they have a spot on the team. It's what we saw in Seattle when these two teams met on September 22nd. You know, the Kraken had a more veteran lineup. The Flames were hungrier, wanted it more, and won 6-1 at Climate Pledge Arena. And tonight, a little bit more inexperienced Kraken team gave the Flames all they could handle here at Scotiabank Saddledome. But the Flames, as they've done throughout the preseason, find a way to win the hockey game. I mean, holy smokes, what a goal by Sam Hanzik. He was the talk of the town prior to tonight and certainly will be as people watch that on Sportsnet Central or on CalgaryFlames.com. Just a beautiful shorthanded goal that he scored going backhand to forehand and tucking that puck in. And he helps his cause. I think there were a number of other players who I would consider to be on the bubble that took a step in the right direction. And then two or three guys who probably hurt their cause a little bit with how they played here tonight. So I think telltale will be how these guys who still have a chance to make the team, how they play against what I expect to be a very strong Jets team on Wednesday in Winnipeg and here in Calgary on Friday. And the fact that we're having these discussions about players, young players, and even a couple of older ones pushing for spots this deep into the preseason, I think it speaks volumes about the job that Craig Conroy and the management group did in creating some internal competition. And it's forcing everybody to be better. And they've been a fun team to watch, an exciting team to watch. And I'm looking forward to seeing how all of this plays out.
See you on Tuesday, friends. Another two-a-day practice here at the Dome on Tuesday. We'll see you then.
Bye, Pat.
Bye, Pat. Good night.
Megan Mickelson, Derek Wills signing off on this Monday night. 4-3 overtime win for the Flames over the Seattle Kraken. And from Derek and Megan to head coach Ryan Huska. Let's hear from the head coach post-game following tonight's win over Seattle.
Do you think on Michael not playing the third there, Coach?
No, I don't, actually. Not yet.
What did you think? How would you describe Sam Hamzak's goal?
It was a beautiful goal. I mean, it was an NHL defenseman, if I'm not mistaken, that he was able to make his move on. So that's his speed, and I think that's the confidence that we've talked about over the last few days that he's playing with right now. So I'm really happy for him.
Last game you said he's going to make this hard on us.
Yeah.
Did he just make it that much harder?
Sure. We'll just continue to do what you're doing. I mean, you can't be anything but happy for the young guy. I know after last year, everybody was talking about, oh, geez, where is this Hanzik guy? Is he going to be a player? Well, he is a player. He's a pretty good player. So we're pretty excited about where he's at right now.
did you think of Matt Coronado's evening?
I thought Matt was all right. It was a funny evening through and through the lineup because we had six minor penalties in the second period, and you lose a lot of the rhythm in the game, and I think that was one of the big reasons why I felt like it was a slower game for us. I didn't think we played with great pace tonight like we had in the prior games, and I think a lot of it had to do with the second period and the amount of penalties that we took.
Have you, in your experience, seen three minor penalties taken in succession like that?
Not at this level. And I typically don't see an over-the-glass penalty all the way to the other end as well. So it was kind of just a funny stretch.
Would you think, like the incidental contact there on Vladar, like from your vantage point, did it look a little bit like goalie
on the goal?
Yeah.
If it would have went in right away, that would have been goalie interference, but he was able to reset. So the play carried on, and he was able to reset. So at that point, it's no longer goalie interference anymore. So,
Ryan, what's made Sam Morton able to jump into pro hockey seemingly so smoothly?
One, I think he's, when you look at, you talk about younger guys, but Sam's older, for one. So I think he's got a little more maturity to his game. And I think he's a guy that's got he's got good hockey sense, so he understands both sides of the game. So I think he takes a lot of pride in being able to play on the defensive side, but we've also seen a skill set that allows him to play with some pretty good players too.
Andrei Kuzmenko is so good with the puck on the stick. I mean, how useful a tool is he in 3-on-3?
That's the first time we've used him in 3-on-3, so we'll probably do it again. But it's even the power play. I mean, when Kuzi's at his best, he works down low really well along the goal line, and he makes it difficult for penalty kills because he's got such a skill set that you don't really know what he's going to do. And I think that's what makes him a special player. Yeah. Well, we got to... You have to try to see where guys can, where they fit. If there's a chance that he may be on the left side, who knows? So you want to see if there's potential for that. That's kind of all that was about tonight.
Obviously, not a huge sample size, but what'd you think?
Yeah, I thought he had some stretches where he was good. Sometimes when you haven't played there for a while, it's difficult for them with their feet, how they have to turn their body in order for them to make plays because they don't see the ice the same way. So if you're not used to it, it takes a little bit of time. So for having not done it in a long time, I thought he did pretty well.
Circle back.
Yeah.
He's constantly being asked about the points and the great preseason that he's having. I know he's sort of trying to focus on an even keel. How have you seen him maybe just stay in the moment?
I think it's just maybe his personality a little bit. I from my time around him, I haven't seen any. He's always the same every day. Short conversations with him, nothing really changes. He just goes out there and works, and I think that's what you'd like to see in a young player. You come and listen, you come and learn, and you try to make sure you bring your best when you're at the rink.
What about Jacob Pelche and what you saw from him on that line with Backlund and Cole? Are you getting enough out of him right now?
Again, it was a tougher night, unfortunately, to be able to get a good read on a lot of players because of the way the pace of the game went. And I think due to the, you're killing six minor penalties in the second period, you take a lot of guys out of the game. Jacob was one of those guys that got taken out of the game. Matt was one of those guys that got taken out of the game. It's not ideal. So unfortunately, it wasn't a great night for evaluating players like that.
You're a goaltender for 60 minutes from Dan.
Yeah, I thought he was really good tonight. Again, made the saves that he had to make, and he made some really 10 bellers as well. So if he can continue to do that and the other guys continue to do what they're doing, then I feel like we're going to be pretty good shape in the pipes.
Have you seen enough of him in preseason, or will you want to take another look at
him? We'll probably look at him again. I mean, I think it's important to keep him rolling a little bit now. I'm sure we're going to get him back in there again.
There you go. Head coach Ryan Huska post-game following tonight's 4-3 overtime win over the Seattle Kraken. Flames now 5-0-1 this preseason with preseason game number 7 Wednesday in Winnipeg. Okay, phone lines open. Give us a call, 403-240-4444 if you want to chat. Hey, there's still lots to be decided here when it comes to Calgary's opening day roster. So if you want to chat what you've seen so far this preseason, get in line on the phone lines right now, 403-240-4444. 44. Got a few phone lines open if you want to jump in without a busy signal, or fire us a text at 960-960. Your phone calls, your texts, and more around the corner. It's Pat Steinberg on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. This is your Flames Talk post-game show, and this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, Flames are now 5-0-1 this preseason after tonight's 4-3 overtime win over the Seattle Kraken. And welcome back to your Flames Talk post-game show. Steinberg along with you on this Monday night. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Our text line open at 960-960. We'll get to your phone calls and your texts very shortly. Again, pretty thin on the phone lines, so if you want to jump in, give us a call now. Get in line and won't get a busy signal. We're talking preseason battles. We're talking opening day roster. We're talking goaltenders. We're talking Sam Hanzek. Whatever you want to hit on, if you want to chat on the phone lines, you can do so. We'll take as many as they come. If there's one, that's great. If there's 10, that's great. We'll take as many phone calls as end up coming in at 403-240-4444. We'll get to the text line very shortly at 960-960 as well. But first, time for the save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For the first time this preseason and for the first time since March, Dan Vladar goes the full distance. He goes 60 minutes and goes all three periods tonight. And here is his save of the game tonight. Dan Vladar's save of the game comes from period number two.
Right point to Dunn. And near circle to right and slaps it out in front. Puck gets knocked down. Cartier has it whacked away by Uyghur, but the Kraken keep it in. Dunn. Far circle to Tolvanen, who shoots his stop. Rebound to right. And Vladar comes across and makes his best save of the game.
And that ends up being one of the 30 stops made by Dan Vladar tonight. That is his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. Why not hear from him? Another solid performance from Dan Vladar. He has been one of the glaring positives of training camp so far. Here's Dan Vladar inside the Flames locker room.
First of all, can we get a goaltender's perspective on Sam Hanzek's goal?
Well, I mean, unreal. Happy to see that, and obviously a great move, and as I said, I'm so happy for him.
Did you? It looked like you said something to him right after. What was the, like, not right after, but a minute or so, what was the message to him?
I just told him it was sick, and I think, so, I don't even remember. I think I said something that, I mean, he might be too young for to doing that, but.
It's a good line.
Yeah, no, great line. As I said, I'm so happy for him.
Does 60 feel different than 40 when you're going through this process for you?
No, not really. I mean, you guys made a great plan for me, you know, coming off a long break for myself. So 40, 60, I think it was a great plan. And I felt even better today than I felt on Saturday. So it was good.
What did you see on the third Seattle goal? Looks like there was contact with you.
It's still preseason. I don't want to get into it yet.
Sorry. Good idea.
Yeah. Second period with all the penalty power plays against you, was that tiring at all?
I mean, it's always as a goalie, you always have to be a little bit more alert when you know there's when there's a penalty kill or power play for the other side. But I mean, we were laughing about Sharkey's penalty. I think that was heavy. I hope he didn't hit anyone with his slapper, but no, I mean, great, still preseason, so good reps, and I think the guys did a great job. I don't think they even had a shot at 5-on-3 or 4-on-3.
Ideally, would you like one more start before the regular season, or?
I want to play all the games, right? But I said it so many times, like, my job here is to play when I get the call, and when I don't have get the call, I'm just working hard in practice. So that's my job here, and I'm just going to keep doing that. So obviously I want to play every single game, but also I understand there's two really good goalies with me.
If that is your last start, you feel ready to go into the season? You feel like you've done all the things you need to do?
100%. I think everybody can wait to get started, and it's a long camp, lots of grind, lots of practices. So I think everybody's ready, yeah.
As far as the hip goes, like, is every box checked? Like, have you been over kind of every hurdle, if that's the right word, you need now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as I said it so many times here, like, every day I feel better and better, and I just know it's going to get better and better. So I'm super positive and confident about that. So, yeah, let's go.
There you go. Dan Vladar, post-game, 30 stops.
boy, he's just playing some really good hockey, friends. I mean, it's tough not to feel encouraged with what you've seen from Vladar so far this preseason. And again, it's only the preseason, and it only means so much, but like this is some pretty solid work from him, and it just looks like he has, you know, put together a really, like, it looks like his hip isn't bothering him, right? And so to see that and to see him continue to look comfortable in the crease and to see him continue to move well side to side, like the save of the game we just played was a great post-to-post move from Vladar. This is real positive stuff. And, yes, we also know Wolf and Cooley have been very, very strong. But, boy, I really like what we're seeing from Dan Vladar so far. And, you know, he's put together a really, really nice preseason so far. And I'm just going to quickly do some math for you. So just do some quick math. That would be a, nah, I don't know if that may not be the right math because I'm not very good at it. But I think we're talking about a 9-10, between 9-10, 9-15 save percentage is what we're looking at for his preseason save percentage in seven periods. I think he's been good. I thought, you know, the 30 on 33, that's a 9.09 tonight, thought he was better than a 9.09 in this game this evening. Like, I thought he was really, really strong once again. And with all of the goaltending positivity and how little a gap there's been between the three guys, I don't think we're any closer to solving what this goaltending situation is going to look like. And Dan looked really, really good tonight. So good on him. And we'll see how many more periods of hockey he plays between now and the end of the preseason. You heard Ryan Huska say that we will see him again, whether that's a full 60, whether that's two periods, we'll see. Again, it feels like a Dustin Wolf start Wednesday just because of the situation that he hasn't dressed in a couple of games. So feels like a Dustin Wolf start, but don't know for sure. We won't find that out until probably Wednesday, when we see the Flames practice ahead of that game in Winnipeg. Let's get to the text line for the first time at 960-960. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. So jump in. Let's chat. If you want to get in line on the phone lines, 403-240-4444. Few lines open if you want to get in line. Let's get to the text line first, though, at 960-960, where Wedley says, Pat, can you tell that bust Hanzek to stop scoring? And it really is, and Wedley's being tongue-in-cheek. Like he typically is, and it's true. Like, the whole idea of Hanzek being a bust just because he didn't have a great first year in the Flames organization or because he was kind of meh at the Young Stars Classic, like, again, as I keep on saying, it's 15, 16 months in the organization for a 19-year-old. Let's tone down the, this guy's a bust, and so it's really cool to see him turn that narrative aggressively here in this preseason. I don't know if Hanzek is going to be ready to be a full-time NHLer this season. Don't know, because we all know that things change. Matt Coronato had an incredible camp last year, started the season in the NHL, and needed American League time. Maybe that's the case with Hanzek. I don't know. But I think we got to be a whole lot more confident that Hanzek is going to be an NHLer with what we've seen so far in the preseason. And again, there's only so much that you can put into the preseason, but none of this has been negative, and Sam Hanzek continues to be one of the big positives so far of camp. And again, right now I think he's leading the way to be one of those bubble players to be in the lineup and on the roster to start the year. And I don't know how many of those guys at forward will be able to, of Hanzek, Coronato, Pelche, Walker Dewar, Dryden Hunt, Sam Morton, all those names. You know, it all depends how many they keep, but if they are keeping, I didn't even mention Klapka, throw his name in there too. There might only be room for two of those guys at most to be on this roster to start the year. So the fact that Hanzek is leading the way, at least in my vantage, from my vantage point, nothing wrong with that. This says, has Pelche done more to stay a fourth liner than Klapka has? And honestly, no. I did not love Pelche's game tonight again. It has continued to be rather underwhelming so far. And
I think Pelche's behind a number of players when it comes to this battle, at least in terms of how they have performed during camp. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that Pelche won't be on the opening night roster, because that waiver situation is something that needs to be taken into account. But I have Klapka, I have Hanzek, I have Coronado, I have Morton, I have Hunt. Just a few names off the top of my head that I think have all outperformed Pelche to this point in training camp. I really want it to work for Jacob, but it just it's been not the most impressive camp so far. Cody says, how did Peltz look? I missed most of the game. Was he still a non-factor? I thought he was a little better. I thought defensively he was fine, but... And then in the third period without Backlund, it got a little bit more juggled up when it came to lines. But, you know, I didn't really feel like Pelche. And in the second period, there were so many penalties that things got out of rhythm. But I didn't really feel like Pelche did a ton to impact the game in his 11 minutes and 12 seconds. Had one shot, one hit, and one takeaway were his numbers in this game. So, I thought it was a fairly underwhelming overall night for Jacob Pelche. This says, remember when we all said really at the Rantanen comparisons for Hanzek coming out of the draft? You know who that goal reminded me of? Fun game. That comes from Dylan in Revelstoke. And still, those comparisons of Mikko Rantanen, a 90-point guy, maybe a little bit lofty. Not to say that he couldn't get there or anything like that, but, you know, I always like to temper comparisons quite like that because of how lofty they might be. It kind of feels unfair sometimes to put those types of expectations on certain players. What else we got here at 960-960? This reads, Pat, not the prettiest of performances, but hey, it's the preseason. I will say Sam Hanzek continues to impress. Completely walked Vince Dunn on that shorthanded goal. Was a thing of beauty. One other thing, that Pahal and Barry pairing might have been the best pairing of the night. I must say, collectively, this group is making Craig Conroy have some tough decisions, which certainly isn't a bad thing. And remember, like, there's still Jake Bean that will probably return to action on Wednesday, and Kevin Ball, who will probably make his preseason debut on Wednesday. You know, those two guys are pretty penciled in to be in your opening six. So, again, right now, if everybody's healthy, and knock on wood, everybody will be to start the regular season, Anderson, Miramanov, Uyghur, Bean, and Ball, there's your five, and now you're looking to see who's going to be that sixth. And if it's me right now, Braden Pahal is kind of the pole setter or the front runner, and it kind of filters in from there. How does Tyson Barry fit into that? I don't know if he fits in or not. Does he? That is a question we need to figure out. What about a Soloviev, Grishnikov, Brustevich? How do they filter in? What about Jared Tinordi, who we haven't seen since that overtime loss Wednesday in Abbotsford? All these things are very interesting to track as we move into the final few days of training camp. Jordan says, any information on what happened to Backlund? As of right now, we heard that from Ryan Huska. Said nothing, no update as it stands right now. Didn't see anything. Michael Backlund played all the way until the end of the second period. His last shift was with 7 seconds to go in the second period, and then didn't play the entire third. So I don't even know if there was a certain thing that happened or not, or if he was just feeling off and they decided not to play him in the third period. We'll wait and see on that front, but obviously something to watch. Ash writes, I personally think it would be a travesty if Pahal doesn't make the top six. With Barry playing well, do you envision a scenario where both can make it? In general, I also hope the coaching staff ends the Sharon Govich experiment at center. I'm not open-minded about this at all. Your thoughts? I don't see a world where everybody's healthy where Barry and Pahal are both in the top six. I honestly don't, because we just talked about who the other five are. I thought Barry had some good moments. I thought Barry had some rough moments in this game, which is kind of on brand for what Tyson Barry has been in his career. At the one end of the ice, especially in the first period, he was dynamite, and he led to two goals. He won a battle at the left point that led eventually to the first goal from Pahal on the nice pass from Lomberg. That all starts with a good battle and a good win by Barry at the left point. And then he does a great job on the second power play unit of getting a puck through and then that leads to the Backlund pass to Coleman on the power play goal. So especially in the first period, and maybe probably two or three other instances in the game, Barry showed what he can do at the offensive end, and he also showed that there was, and it's the preseason, and I always take veterans with a grain of salt, although this is a veteran trying to make an NHL roster, so it's a little bit different. I thought Barry really struggled at times defensively in this game and got beat on battles and was easily pushed off pucks and some defensive reads that really made it so that Calgary had to continue in their own zone. He got caught out there for two or three extended shifts because there were just time and time again they couldn't get out because of a couple of tough decisions from Barry. Now, I give him a little bit of a pass, though, because he was playing his offside, and we're going to hear from Tyson a little bit later on, and he talked about hasn't played his off wing, the left side, or his offside, the left side, in a long, long time. So I do give him a little bit of a pass for some of the defensive miscues, even talking to Mick off mic and talked about how much you love it offensively and how difficult it can be defensively playing your weak side as a defenseman. So I do give a little bit of a, there's some grace there I think that needs to be given there, but I still don't have a good feel in my own mind whether or not signing Barry is the way to go. We'll see. And I'm really curious how this plays out as the year goes along, as training camp, rather, goes along. Clyde writes, I honestly don't know how Hanzek won't make the team. He's definitely proven himself at the very least. He's a top-line guy in the American League. He's shown so much progress in just 1 month. It's insane. I can't wait to see how the rest of his career goes. I'll say this, and this is the first time I've been willing to say something quite like this, but I think Sam Hanzek now is in a spot where he has to lose himself a spot on the opening day roster. I kind of feel like that's the case right now. How many more games he plays, we'll see. Does he play the full two and go the absolute max, or do they rest him for one? That's going to be interesting to see. But I think Hanzek's now put himself in a spot where if he continues to play well, he'll be on. And he's got to play himself off. However, these last two games, and we'll see if he plays both or only one, these are going to be, it's kind of like you're in social studies all semester, and you do all your coursework and all your classwork, but it's that final exam that makes up 60% of your grade or whatever the case may be. I kind of feel that's what these last two games or last game are going to be like for Hanzek, because you're going to be out there against Ehlers, you're going to be out there against Scheifele, you're going to be out there against Pionk and Morrissey and Hellebuck and all the, like, Winnipeg is going to ice in these last two games pretty close to their opening night roster at home and on the road. So that's going to be the real telltale sign, I think, for a lot of these bubble players. But I kind of feel like Hanzek's in a spot now where he needs to play himself out of an opening night roster spot. That's how impressive he's been, at least in my opinion. I don't know if that's where the Flames are, but that's kind of what my thought would be. Brendan in Cochrane says, oh, man, you know what, Brendan? I'm not even going to read that because I don't know the answer, and I don't want to sound like a fool, so I'm just not going to read the text. It's not because I didn't like the text. It's because I got to still do a little more research on it to give you the correct answer. So, Brendan, it's a good text. I'm just going to save myself the embarrassment and not read it. This says, Pat, what happened with Backlund tonight? As far as I could tell, he didn't play in the third or OT. You are correct. He did not. We don't know. So we'll see how this plays itself out. And that's our look at the text line to start. Lots more to get to. Plenty more text at 960-960. Keep them coming on your Flames Talk post-game show. And let's get to the phone lines for the first time tonight. 403-240-4444. Would love to hear from you on our Flames Talk post-game show. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game following a Flames 4-3 overtime win over the Seattle Kraken. Six down, two to go this preseason. And kicking us off on the phone lines tonight is Dale. What's going on, Dale?
Hey, Pat. How's it going tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Didn't have the opportunity to watch the game tonight. I was working, but I had a couple questions about what the roster is going to look like after training camp here, what we think with two games left. Yeah. Martin Pospisil, I saw he was back on the ice today, right?
Correct. He did not play tonight, but he did skate for the first time since sustaining that lower body injury. I guess that was on Wednesday of last week.
Gotcha. So with so many guys impressing in preseason so far, and he hasn't been bad in preseason, but when he did play, he can't really play his full game because it's just the preseason, right? But with so many guys impressing, is there a chance that he falls down to the fourth line and we see like a Lomberg, Pospisil, Klapka fourth line to start?
I don't think that's completely out of the question. I still think that they're going to want to at least get one more look at Pospisil down the middle between Huberdeau and Mantha. Like, I feel like they envisioned that line and came up with it in the offseason coming into training camp for a reason. So I feel like they are going to want to give that at least one more look, but certainly I think that is a possibility. The only problem is that, you know, Sharon Govich down the middle has been okay. I haven't minded him, honestly, in the two games he's played down the middle here, but I still feel like Sharon Govich helps you more off the wing, and that whole idea of Kadri Kuzmenko and Sharon Govich I quite like, for instance. And we've only seen Zeri play down the middle once as well. So if what you're saying ends up happening, who's the other center? Is it Zeri? Is it Sharon Govich? And I don't think that has figured itself out yet. So I do believe that center ice is going to be a work in progress for quite some time here, Dale. And so I think that there's still a lot of things that could end up being possible because of that.
Yeah, fair enough. In that lineup that I kind of half gave to you there, I had Zeri at center between Huberdeau and Mantha, but like you said, Zeri hasn't played that much center. But anyways, the other thing I was going to ask you about was the goalie situation. So obviously it's been a big debate, like, oh, Wolf, Cooley, Vladar, what do you do here? Is there any chance, like a scenario I haven't heard talked about too much, that one of either Cooley or Vladar has increased their stock just enough in this preseason to be traded for a mid-round pick instead of put on waivers?
Potentially, although I still wonder if, you know, I'll give you like the two teams that come to the front of my mind are Vancouver and Anaheim. I still wonder if those teams might look at the waiver wire first in terms of trying to find some goaltending help before making a trade. So maybe, like, specifically on Vladar, maybe, but I still feel like because he's coming off of the hip surgery and because he's only played seven periods since, I feel like teams would probably want to see some regular season action when shooters are going at 100 and when the grind of an NHL schedule really starts to set in. I feel like teams might want to wait until we're into the regular season to see how Vladar is responding before maybe getting a mid-round pick or into that range for him. Like, I feel like if the Flames were to go down that road, and I'm not trying to say that they should be actively shopping Dan or anything like that, but, you know, he is in the final year of a contract. He is a unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, so those things are need to be factored in. I feel like if they could get a third-round pick for him, they would be open to making that decision because that recoups what they gave to bring him in a few years ago. If they can get more, that obviously would be great, but I feel like teams wouldn't be willing to go to that range until they saw him in the regular season. I might be wrong, but that's just kind of my outside read and or guess on that.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess that would kind of be something that we could always do like a couple weeks into the season too. Like if the worst case scenario was we carry three goalies for a couple weeks and Vladar plays 3, 4, 5 games and proves himself, then maybe a team would be looking for him in a trade because they ended up in a dire situation or whatever. So, but yeah, it'll be definitely interesting to see how all this unfolds. I didn't even mention the defense. Like what's going to happen with Kevin Ball? Like he was part of that Markstrom trade and we haven't really seen much of him. So, if you want to just talk about that for a second, and I'll let you go here.
Okay, appreciate it, Dale, and absolutely I will. Thanks for the call, man. On Kevin Ball, I mean, I think that he still is factored into being an everyday defenseman on this roster. He just hasn't been able to play yet. Now, he's been skating since late last week, and so that's good news. The lower body injury is behind him, but because he missed a good chunk of training camp, You want to get him back up to speed, get his pace back, his timing, all that type of stuff. You don't want to put him in a spot where, because he's all of a sudden in a game and hasn't gotten a lot of practices under his belt, you know, maybe a soft tissue issue, a groin or something like that ends up getting tweaked. So you want to be careful there. So my guess is we'll see Ball on Wednesday in Winnipeg for the first time as a member of the Flames. So I think that the... I still think we're talking about him in the opening night lineup come October 9th, but it's tough to really handicap or judge how he's played so far, mainly because we've yet to see him play, or how he's performed so far, rather, mainly because we've yet to see him play. But I still think Ball is very much a factor, and you know, you don't bring him back in the Markstrom trade as a guy that you really wanted if you're not going to have him as part of your, at least envision him as part of your top six. And I still believe that is the case when it comes to Ball. Hey, phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. If you want to chat on Flames Talk on this Monday night following a 4-3 overtime win over the Seattle Kraken, let's say hello to our buddy Anand. What's going on, bud?
Good evening, buddy. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, good game again tonight against the Seattle Kraken. I love the performance. Let me talk about the Samuel Hansen goal. That was amazing. Going past the defender all by himself and then shooting and scoring, that was amazing. Making him case to be in the opening lineup maybe, and then maybe in the NHL roster down the road also. One couple of questions for you. So first of all, do you think Barry will get a contract signed? I know you talked about Barry. He had a couple of assists tonight, but then he had some difficult defensive moments. Do you think he'll get a contract signed?
I can't handicap that one as of yet. And I mean, I think that there are some. It's a real flip of a coin for me in terms of, like, I think that there are some real drawbacks to signing Barry, because I worry about what it does. I worry about what it does for the overall glut that the Flames have on the back end. I worry what it does in the American League. Like, if they sign Barry and they keep Pahal, and all of a sudden now that means probably Tenorti and or Hanley are in the American League. If you've got one or two of those guys down there, now all of a sudden you've also got to factor in ice time for Solovyov. You got to factor in ice time for Poirier, Grushnikov, Brustevich, and all of a sudden it becomes really crowded at the American League level, and you don't want to be infringing on their development time. But on the other side, and I think that, you know, the drawbacks, the kind of the downside of Tyson Barrie's game has always been from his own blue line in, and that's always been an area where it's not been his strongest suit. On the other end, though, like, Tyson Barrie even showed it in this game tonight that he can really help a team, especially at the other end of the ice. You know, the way he gets pucks through, probably alongside Mackenzie Weegar, is the best on the team. And the way that he walks the blue line, his poise on the blue line, is perhaps some of the best on the team. He's got a very, very high-end offensive IQ. And so those things, I think, absolutely could help the Flames. So when you're... It really is one of those things that I think, and it's going to come right down until the final weekend, which is this coming weekend. Like, I still think, I still think it is big time up in the air as to whether or not he gets contract here or not.
All right, gotcha. Yeah, fair enough. And then my one other question regarding the goaltending. I think I read somewhere, would Dan Bladar, so maybe can he get traded to a team like Boston Bruins or something? If it becomes like a Cooley or a Wolf tandem?
I mean, again, as I told Dale, the last caller, it feels like I think teams would – like to see Vladar in the regular season to see how his hip is responding, all those types of things, before maybe being willing to give up what they would need to give up to bring a guy like him in. So, you know, or to be willing to meet what the price might be for the Flames. So I'm not expecting something like that before the start of the regular season, that's for sure.
Okay, gotcha. And then, yeah, regarding Backlund, Michael Backlund, I hope he's already, because I heard and I saw that he was not on the bench for the third period and overtime. And one other final question, what did you think of Rasmus Anderson game tonight?
I thought Raz was fine. Thought he was pretty engaged. I don't really put much stock. Like, Rasmus Anderson's on the team. Rasmus Anderson is one of the two best defensemen on the team. Like, I don't put a ton of stock into what I see ever from veterans, positive or negative, in the preseason. So I thought Raz was fine tonight. But I don't, like, you know, it's kind of like it's the preseason. And he's playing preseason hockey. He's just trying to get himself ramped up for the start of the regular season. But I thought he was fine. Like, I didn't think he played poorly. I thought that, you know, for a veteran in the preseason, he kind of gave you what you'd expect.
All right, sounds good. All right, thank you so much, Pat. I appreciate the chat. Have a good night and talk to you on Wednesday when we play the Jets.
Okay, and I'd appreciate it, buddy. Hey, the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. You want to chat some Flames hockey as the preseason starts to wind down? Give us a call. In fact, what we'll do right now is say it's last call for phone calls. If you want to chime in, now's the time to do so. Call now, 403-240-4444. Last call. We're talking Sam Honzak. We're talking opening night roster. We're talking goaltending and a whole lot more. If you want to jump in on the phone lines, you can do so, or fire us a text at 960-960. Lots of texts still to get to on this Monday night. Your final score from here at the Scotiabank Saddledome: Flames take a 4-3 overtime win over the Seattle Kraken to improve their preseason record to 5-0-1. It's Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk postgame show, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Final score from the Scotiabank Saddledome tonight: Flames move to 5-0-1 this preseason, 4-3 in overtime over the Seattle Kraken. And as we continue along on your Flames Talk postgame show, it's Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll go back inside the Flames locker room in just a second, but first, the adjustment of the game, which is powered by Equus, delivering power to co-op members throughout Alberta. Choose community, choose Equus. And the adjustment of the game in this game was obviously after Michael Backlund went down and didn't play the entire third period in overtime. Backlund played the final shifts of the second period, so played the entire first 40, didn't play the third or overtime. It sounds like just precautionary, so doesn't sound like anything to worry about at all. This time of year with your veterans, you're always erring on the side of caution. So yeah, it sounds like just precautionary and nothing to worry about on the Backlund front. We'll see if he skates on Tuesday morning or not, but if he doesn't, you shouldn't be worried either. And we saw Coronado, Pospisil, Bean, all those guys have some, you know, precautionary time away. Even Nazem Kadri. You're just gonna be real smart at this time of year, especially with the regular season so far in the offing. There's no need to push anything right now. So that's kind of the word on Michael Backlund. And so good news in that respect. And he did not play the third period. So everything went in the blender. All the lines went in the blender. You're down to 11 forwards. We saw all kinds of different combinations. So that is your adjustment of the game powered by Equus. Hey, Sam Honzak continues to impress. What a goal he scored shorthanded in the second period. Gave the Flames a 3-2 lead after 40 minutes of play. He's got 7 points in 5 preseason games now, as he continues to be one of the number one. If it's not number one, he's one of the stories of Flames training camp so far. Let's hear from Sam Honzak inside the Flames locker room.
How would you describe that goal?
I mean, it was unreal for me, but, you know, it's a PK goal, but that doesn't happen often. But, you know, I took the chance, and I'm happy that it went in.
How much has your confidence grown, Samuel, over the past little bit, like, out-geeking a legit NHLer? Like, do you feel like you would have done that a few weeks ago?
To be honest, like, you know, when the pandemic started, it was kind of tough because, you know, 3 months without the game. But, you know, once the main game started, I feel would say, really different, you know, like a new player. And, you know, and then every game, every practice, I felt more confident, more comfortable in practices playing with NHL guys and, you know, kind of feeling and fit in the team. So, yeah.
How did you feel about your line tonight?
It was probably my first time playing with the like top NHLers, but it was a great experience. You know, a little bit, you know, could be better, but I think from my side sometimes. But you know, there's a process of learning. So
I understand that, like, for you, it's a goal. Whatever, you don't want to talk too much. But were the guys excited about it? What did they say to you on the bench? Because it was
after goal.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Yeah, they were pumped. So. Yeah, the funny thing is that, you know, after I scored, it was just Sharky in the corner with me, so it was like a little bit funny. But yeah, they were pretty pumped up.
What was playing with Kadri like, and what's he communicating? How's he communicating with you during the game?
I mean, I was happy that he was talking to me. Same with Kuzi. You know, they try to help me a lot. You know, and it was just higher pace. You know, quicker plays. You know, so I think, you know, hoping next game if we play together eventually, then I can use my speed and, you know, we can create more offense.
Sam, you've talked a lot about the importance of kind of even keel and not getting too far ahead of yourself. As you get closer to maybe achieving a goal, does it get harder to kind of stay in that moment?
I mean, for sure, you know the cuts are happening, you know, and I mean, we are probably I'm between the last guys to like be decided, so you know, it's getting harder, you know, even the pressure is kind of like coming up now, because, you know, I know the two preseason games are left, so you know, I'm just trying to like put everything I have in it, and you know, even if I make the team, if I don't, I leave it everything here.
I think you played with different line mates pretty much every game so far. How do you adapt your game? Because I know you're obviously playing well. That's why you're still here. You're getting these opportunities. But do you try not to change too much when you're playing with new guys?
I mean, I'm trying to maybe now save the energy because, you know, I play so far every preseason game. So, yeah, like you said, every time, every game, the different players. But that doesn't matter. You know, I have to use still my speed. And, you know, I think guys in this room are really skilled and smart to, like, even find me. Or, you know, even if I... with my game, I can help them to, like, you know, bring them with me, you know, and be a really good line.
So do you enjoy this experience? Is it stressful? Like, how do you feel?
I mean, right now it's really, I'm really enjoying it. You know, so far it's good, but, you know, I'm trying to stay humble, not to be too overconfident, like I probably mentioned in the other interview, but, you know, stay on the ground with the feet and, you know, just keep working hard and, you know, be focused.
There you go, Sam Honzek, post-game after another solid performance from number 42 is... Again, it kind of feels, if I were to handicap it, and certainly in my opinion, I think Sam needs to play himself off of the opening night roster now. And there's two more preseason games to go. They're going to be the two toughest ones yet. I don't know if he's going to play one or both, but I think he's got to play himself off this opening night roster with the way he continues to impress. Like, that's five games he's played in the preseason now, and he's been impressive in all of them. That says something regardless of how the opposition has been on the other side. So that's Sam Honzek, and now Tyson Barrie, who's trying to play himself onto a roster spot as well. A couple of assists, and honestly, those are hard-earned second assists. Like, Tyson Barrie was a big part of two goals tonight. His secondary assist on the Braden Pahal 1-1 goal was a hard work battle won at the left point that eventually, like 10 seconds later, led to the Pahal goal. And then he gets the shot through a bunch of traffic on the power play on the Coleman goal, sets up the rebound. Decord can't handle it because I don't think he saw it until the last second. And then Backlund across to Coleman, and bam, it's 2-1. So a couple of hard-earned second assists for Tyson Barrie. He was full marks on both of them, and he continues to try to earn himself a spot on this roster as a PTO. Here's Tyson Barrie post game inside the locker room as well.
Continue to feel good out there?
Yeah, I think so. Just trying to continue to make an impression and, you know, skate well and you know, create some offense when I can.
How have you found like generating chemistry on the power play? How have you found that process?
Yeah, I think it's been a different unit every game, and then tonight, maybe we had 10 seconds or so of power play time, so it wasn't much of an opportunity tonight, more of a penalty kill game. But, yeah, I mean, there's so many good players in here. It's good, smart players, so it shouldn't be too much of an issue.
As you're going through this process of PTO, do you get much feedback along the way from the coaching staff on what you should be working on or what they're seeing, what you're
looking? Not a ton. I had a good chat with Husk, just mostly positive, just keep going, do what you're doing. Stay the course kind of thing, but not certainly not you know, communicating every day or anything like that.
How do you feel playing on the left side? Any adjustments you have to make?
For sure. It's been a while since I've done that. It's just, I think it's more, you know, O-zone's fun. It's you can create lots on the offside, but that neutral zone, just trying to, you know, find your options is a little bit tricky. And, you know, you kind of, it feels like you're cut off a little bit on one side, but, you know, I think just getting used to that and, you know, practicing that, making some adjustments with your feet would go a long way.
Tyson, when you say it's been a while, like how long were you talking since you played last?
Ooh, I mean, I think I played left side in junior, so. But, yeah, you know, a game or two here and there, but, yeah, I haven't spent a whole lot of time on the left side, but I played 2 years there in junior and had a good couple years, so I just got to, you know, get used to it, get comfortable over there.
Do you look at something like that as, oh, geez, I've been playing the right my whole career, or do you look at it as, hey, this is a chance for me to kind of show up, I can bring some
Yeah, I think it totally that. I think it's a chance to, you know, add something to your game and, you know, work on your craft and show them you're versatile and you can, you know, kind of fit in where they need you to. So that's my mindset for sure, not so much getting stuck about playing on the right.
We talk about veterans ramping up in the preseason. Do you feel like you have that same opportunity when you're on a PTO, or did you have to kind of come in right away and try to make an impression?
Yeah, you definitely got to come in. You got to be ramped up right away. You don't want to come in and lay an egg early and no big deal. So, yeah, I feel like I've been trying to, you know, prove myself every game and every practice, and it's the best league in the world, and you got to work hard to stay here and take your opportunities when they come. So that's, you know, kind of what I'm trying to do.
That is Tyson Barry post-game inside the Flames locker room. Couple of assists for him in this 4-3 overtime win over the Seattle Kraken. You know, the whole dilemma on whether they should or should not sign Barry on his PTO, he's done everything. He's done everything he can, I think, so far. Like, Tyson Barry at the age of 31 or whatever we're talking about right now, I think we know what he is as a player. He's a really good offensive defenseman, sometimes struggles in his own zone. He's 33 years old, actually, just turned 33 over the summer. And so, yeah, we've seen some of the really good offensive side of things, including tonight, where especially in that first period, he made a lot of things happen. We've also seen some stretches where it's been rough defensively for him. And, you know, as I said, I give him a little bit of a pass tonight because there were some tough moments for sure. I give him a little bit of a pass tonight because he was playing on his offside, as you just heard him talk about. But, you know, that's always been the knock or the downfall or the drawback with Barry's game, is that he struggles a little bit defensively. But I will say that what Barry has done so far in camp has been what you'd expect him to do. He's played his game, and it comes down to whether or not that is something the Flames need or not to start the regular season. And let's get back to the text line. I'm going to throw out the last call for phone calls one more time. We got nobody on the line right now, so if you want to jump in, you can. 403-240-4444. We don't need it, but if you want to, just want to make sure that the option is open for you. Last call for phone calls. Now's the time to call. If not, all good. We can roll through some texts, and we'll do that right now. This says, Pat, the most exciting camp the Flames have had in years. Nice to see this new energy and emerging youth. This is a prime example of executing a plan. Conroy's got the culture turning around. This is fun for players and fans. And if you heard Jason LaBarbera with us a little earlier too, he talked a lot about the buzz and the excitement and just how fun it has been around the rink here over the last little bit. Now, that only goes so far, but doesn't mean it's a bad thing. That's for sure. This reads, the Flames had an atrocious power play last year. Bottom of the barrel team has strong defensemen. They need a quarterback to lead the Flames' power play. The team needs Barry. They can have him in a 6-7 role. Also, he'd be a bargain. And maybe that's exactly the way the Flames are looking at this thing when talking about his power play opportunity. Now, I don't think Barry's going to be your number one power play unit guy to start. I think the number one power play unit, at least to start the season, is pretty set. I think it's got Uyghur with Huberdeau, Kadri, Sharon Govich, and Kuzmenko. I think that's your number one power play unit set in stone to start the regular season. It's been practiced that way through training camp, and as it should be, because that power play unit in the final quarter of last season was number five in the NHL. So I think Uyghur is your number one power play quarterback and should be. I think he's really starting to come into his own, at least to start. And if it changes, if there's a step back, you can always make changes. I think if you're signing Tyson Barrie, it would be to be on the number two power play unit, which we've seen a lot of in training camp practices with him and Rasmus Anderson quarterbacking the number two unit, or not quarterbacking, but being on the number two unit. But honestly, that number one unit for the last 20-plus games of last year was fifth in the NHL. And I think there's plenty of reason to let Uyghur, Kuzmenko, Sharon Govich, Huberdeau, and Kadri roll through the rest of, at least to start the season. I think there's plenty of reason to do that if you're the Flames because of how well they played last year. I think that makes nothing but sense. Now, that's not to say that that means that they shouldn't sign Barrie, but I just don't think it would be, at least to start with, the number one he would be the number one power play guy on the blue line. This says, is it too early to call Pelche the current day Matthew Phillips? I would caution Craig Conroy to not repeat mistakes of the past and at the very least understand what you have in Pelche before letting him go. The Flames paid Phillips for years to light up the American League and never truly understood what he was due to never giving him a legit look in the NHL. Understand the team wants to win, but would you not be best to let him play a representative sample of games and figure out once and for all where he fits in? It's a very good question. I think it's a very fair question. And I honestly think that Craig Conroy would lean in the direction of what you're talking about. I don't think Conroy wants to lose Pelche on waivers. I do think that is a factor that they will take into account as they determine and make their final roster decisions. And I think that you need to avoid putting Pelche on waivers. As lackluster or underwhelming as his camp may have been, I still think, to your point, that you have to make sure that you know what he is before you say goodbye to Jacob Pelche and the organization. So, I absolutely think that you need to think that way. And honestly, I think that's exactly the way the Flames and Craig Conroy would be thinking at this point. Smiley wonders if I want to join her fantasy league. Respectfully, no. I do not have the brain power for fantasy hockey. I can do fantasy football. I went 2-2 this week, for instance. But I can do fantasy football because only a few times a week. Fantasy hockey every day, just with the schedule I work, my brain can't do it. I'd be the worst person to have in your fantasy league. Adam says, what's the deal with Pelche? Where does he fit in with guys clearly outperforming him? I think we've talked a lot about that. I think that that is something that is still going to work itself out. I still believe having him on the opening night roster is the way to go. Whether or not he's in the opening night lineup, we'll see. But I do think you need to avoid losing him on waivers. Joy in Strathmore says, a couple of questions. If a player's on a two-way deal, do they still need waivers to go down? How is waiver eligibility determined? What is the maximum roster size since they won't need to shrink the roster due to salary cap? I had a thought about keeping three goalies on the roster. Maybe whichever goaltender plays the night before doesn't participate in practice the next day. Last, are any of the practice sessions at the Dome open for the public to attend, i.e. tomorrow's sessions? Okay, on the last one, I don't know, Joy. I don't know if they're open to the public or not. So I feel bad that I can't answer that one. I'll get an answer on that, but as of right now, I don't know. As for the two-way deal waiver eligibility, if a player is on a two-way deal, do they still need waivers to go down? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Here's the best way that I can explain it. A two-way deal, all a two-way deal or a one-way deal determines is your money being paid if you're in the American League. So if you're on a one-way contract, say that Wes Gilbertson is on a one-way contract and he makes $1.5 million. Well, Wes Gilbertson would make $1.5 million in the NHL and would make the exact same amount in the American League. Teams don't have the luxury of giving a player a pay cut in the American League. On a two-way deal, if you're at $1.5 million, you'd never have $1.5 million. If you're at, say, $800,000 in the American League, in the NHL, your two-way number might be $80,000 or $120,000 or $250,000 in the American League, but you have different numbers. You're getting paid. Your wallet ends up being
different in a two-way deal compared to a one-way deal. So that's the only thing that that determines. Waiver eligibility is complicated, and I don't know the rules off by heart in terms of the number of games and pro experience. Ryan Pike does, and that's why we always defer to him. But waiver eligibility is determined by service time, pro service time, NHL service time, those types of things, years in the league, all those types of things. That is what determines waiver eligibility. It is not determined by whether or not you have a one- or a two-way contract. As for the question about the maximum roster size is 23 players on your active roster. There's always IR and LTIR, but the active maximum roster is 23 players. So if they wanted to keep three goaltenders, it would mean that they would only be keeping 13 forward, seven defensemen, for instance, and then the three goalies. Hopefully, Joy, those were the right answers to your question, or at the very least answered some of your questions. This says, it seems pretty well known Tyson Berry's a great teammate and great in the room. With this team most likely selling and retooling, how much do you think that could factor into him making the starting roster? Yes, I do think it could factor into it, because that is why, one of the reasons why they brought him in, because of how renowned he is for being an awesome guy and a really important member inside a team's locker room. So yes, I do think that could factor into it. I don't think it'll be the major determining factor, but I don't think it'll be irrelevant either. And yeah, everything you've ever heard about Tyson Berry is how awesome a guy he is to have as a teammate. Connor writes, Pat, it seemed like a bit of a strange game with how the puck was managed by both teams. Tons of nice one-touch passes and quick movement, but also lots of turnovers. Very back and forth. Is that a regular preseason game or just the way it unfolded? Also, Pelche, what number is he? I understand the last part, because it has not been a great camp so far for Pelche. It did feel like a quite sloppy game out there tonight. I would agree with that as well. Didn't feel like there was a ton of structure when it came to both teams' games tonight. So, yeah, I agree with that for sure. This says, I'm confused about the hype around Cooley and why the Flames signed him. He's only played six NHL games and is 27 years old. He looks to me like a typical third stringer in the league. Am I missing something? Well, I mean, if you talk to goaltending people around the league, including this goaltending department, which is very highly thought of around the league, if you talk to goaltending people, whether it's Kevin Woodley, whether it's Jordan Sigalette, who runs the Flames goalie department, or other people around the league who are big goaltending or foremost goaltending experts, the book on Devin Cooley is that there's something there. So the hype is that Devin Cooley has got a lot of people who believe his athleticism, his frame, and the way that he plays the game, he could be a successful NHL goaltender. You never know. Goaltending is extremely hard to extrapolate and predict, but his athleticism, his size, his lankiness, his mind for the game, all those types of things are very high-end according to most goaltending people. He's a late bloomer. And if you go listen to the interview he did with us a couple of weeks ago, like he didn't get formal goaltending coaching until basically he was an adult. He's a late bloomer. So I understand why you say you don't understand the hype, because he does only have six NHL games under his belt. But there are a lot of people in the goaltending community who believe Cooley's potential is very, very high. This says, how concerned should we be about Huberdeau? What was that spinorama pass in the first period? Honestly, friends, I put so little, and I've said this many times, I put so little stock into how a player does, a veteran player does, positively or negatively in the preseason. They're going at like 55-60%. They're getting themselves, they're using the preseason to get their touches, to get their timing, to get themselves ramped up and ready for when games matter for real. So guys who are holding back and pulling punches, I just don't evaluate much or at all. So
How much should we be concerned about Huberdeau based on the preseason? Not at all in my eyes. How much should we be concerned about Huberdeau based on the prior two regular seasons? Different story. Obviously, there's a lot of concern because he has been a 55 and a 52-point player the last 2 years at $10.5 million last year. So those things concerning, obviously. What he's done in the preseason, I really, and this is just me, but I put next to none, if no stock at all in what we've seen so far. Hey, great stuff on the text line tonight. Really appreciate it as always. Great stuff on the phone lines. Thin on the phone lines, but thanks to Dale and Ann for joining us, and awesome stuff on the text line as always. As we start to move towards the conclusion of tonight's Flames Talk post-game show, it's time for tonight's final summary following a Flames 4-3 overtime win here at the Dome over the Seattle Kraken. Back and forth we went tonight. Seattle opened the scoring in the first period thanks to Eli Tolvanen. He picks up his second of the preseason to make it 1-0. Chandler Stephenson, the lone assist at 3:18. The Flames answer back about 6 minutes later. Braden Pahal gets another one, his second of the preseason, from Ryan Lomberg and Tyson Barrie at 9:28. And then the Flames take their first lead on the power play as Blake Coleman knocks home his second of the preseason. Coleman from Michael Backlund and Barrie at 13 minutes on the power play to make it 2-1 Calgary. Now Seattle ties it back up as Ville Ottavainen makes it 2-2 late in the first period. Ottavainen's first of the preseason from Ben Myers and Josh Mahura at 19:45, and it was 2-2 after 20. Flames had the only goal of the second period, and it was a beauty from Sam Honzek. Shorthanded, he undresses Vince Dunn and then does the same to Joey Decord for his second of the preseason. Honzek from Yegor Sharangovich shorthanded at 6:33 to make it 3-2. Seattle ties in a power play of their own early in the third. Shane Wright's first of the preseason from Andre Burakovsky and Vince Dunn, 39 seconds into the final frame to make it 3-3. That would be your score into overtime, and did not take long as we went to the extra period to get our overtime winner as the Flames break into the zone. What a nice look off from Andre Kuzmenko to find Nazem Kadri at the left side of the net, and Kadri buries his second of the preseason for the OT winner. Kadri from Kuzmenko and Mackenzie Weegar at the 42nd mark, 4-3 is your final score. Final shots were 33-27 in favor of Seattle. Flames finish 1-for-1 on the power play tonight. Seattle 1-for-6 with the man advantage. Your three stars in the building tonight: number 3, Nazem Kadri; number 2, Dan Vladar; and your number 1 star tonight was Sam Honzek. Your hardest working Flame, as selected by Megan Mickelson tonight, was Mackenzie Weegar. With the win, Flames improved to 5-0-1 this preseason. It continues Wednesday on the road in Winnipeg, while Seattle drops to 1-4-0 this preseason. They can conclude their exhibition schedule Wednesday at home to Edmonton. That is your final summary, and now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for our on-site engineers Tim Khalil and Jeff Mason, for our reporter Logan Gordon, and for our outstanding producers Connor Gronsdahl and Azam Ali Nanji. My name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up for the Flames is Wednesday night in Winnipeg. It is a 6 o'clock face-off from Winnipeg, which means we're on the air with your Flames warm-up at 5 o'clock Wednesday night for the second-to-last preseason game of 2024. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. Thank you so much for listening. Your final score from Scotiabank Saddle Dome tonight: the Flames 4, Seattle Kraken 3 in overtime. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.